Series in the Ten Commandments today, and as we do that, let's invite God's Spirit to teach us as we continue our look at the meaning behind these commandments. Please join with me, let us pray. Lord, we thank you again that you are our rock, you are a shelter, you are a refuge and a strength for all those who trust you. And we thank you that your word is truth, and we live in a day and age when people say your truth and my truth. We thank you that your word is truth. It applies to all people in all places at all times, for your word is eternal. And Father, you have given us principles and commands in Scripture for our own good, for a healthy, functioning society, and for relationships that are healthy. Father, thank you for these commandments, and as we dig into the deeper meaning behind each one, and as we come to commandment number 6 today, may your Spirit speak into our hearts and our lives to encourage us, to help us to evaluate our own hearts. Father, thank you that your grace covers us. Father, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet we thank you that your grace is so deep and covers our sin. Thank you, Father, for your word. May your Spirit speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A Sunday school teacher one morning was teaching a Sunday school class full of 5 and 6-year-old children, and the lesson was on how to get along with other members of your family. After explaining to the kids why it's important to respect their parents and why it was important for them to get along with other members of their family, the teacher said, "How many of you have a brother or sister at home?" Most of the children raised their hands. So the teacher asked, "Can you think of any commands in the Bible that teach you how to treat your brother or your sister?" Without hesitation, a little boy put up his hand and he said, "Teacher, I know the answer. The answer is you shall not murder." Well, for any of you who have had children, you kind of know they don't always get along, do they? Today's message is part 6. In a series of messages called A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments. Today we're going to explore the meaning of the 6th commandment, taken from Deuteronomy 5:17. And in 4 simple words, this commandment says, "You shall not murder." Now on the surface, this commandment seems very clear, doesn't it? God prohibits us from taking the life of another human being. But there are a number of complicated issues that surround this commandment. Does this commandment mean that no Christian should ever go to war to defend his or her country? Does it mean that we cannot defend ourselves if we are violently attacked and our lives are put at risk? What about capital punishment, euthanasia, and abortion? These are some of the issues that rise to the surface when we begin to consider the meaning of this commandment. And as you can see, when it comes to the 6th commandment, there is more than meets the eye. Let's begin by seeking to understand the meaning of commandment number 6. When God says, "You shall not murder," what exactly does he mean? I want to suggest that this commandment primarily means 3 things. First, it prohibits the taking of an innocent person's life. It prohibits the taking of an innocent person's life. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and it's important for us to note that the Hebrew language actually has 9 different words for the act of killing. 9 different words. The specific Hebrew word used in this commandment does not address all types of killing. It deals exclusively with murder. In other words, it conveys the idea of taking another person's life without just cause. It refers to the unjust killing of another person, either intentionally or through gross negligence. The same word is used in Genesis 9:6, which says, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind." So the meaning of the word murder as used in this particular commandment is extremely important. It helps us understand that this commandment does not forbid capital punishment, self-defense, or going to war to defend one's country. Nor does it refer to killing plants or animals. Now, these issues are addressed elsewhere in Scripture, and I think they're certainly complicated enough that they each require a message in and of their own. My purpose this morning is to focus on the specific issues that are addressed by the sixth commandment. There is a second meaning behind this commandment. It prohibits hatred toward other people. In the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, Jesus taught us that keeping the moral laws of the Old Testament is much more than a matter of external obedience. In Matthew 5, 21 and 22, which I read for you earlier, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." What is Jesus saying here? Well, he's pointing out that hatred or contempt for another person lies at the root of murder. Laws prohibiting murder are common across all societies. But Jesus went beyond the physical act of killing someone to show us that murder and all outward sins are essentially a matter of the heart. The first murder recorded in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 4, where Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain murdered his brother out of jealousy and anger. He was jealous because God accepted his brother's offering but rejected his offering. The story of Cain and Abel reminds us that external sins like murder begin in the heart, where we allow hatred and anger to grow. 1 John 3:15 says, "Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." And Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." The Heidelberg Confession puts it this way: "In forbidding murder, God means to teach us that he abhors the root of murder, which is envy, hatred, and revenge. And he regards all these things as hidden murder." I think it's easy to see how all of us, at one time or another, have broken the sixth commandment. In one particular Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown and his sister Sally are talking about a Bible memory verse that they need to commit to memory. Sally is trying to locate this memory verse for Sunday school. She's forgotten where to find it in the Bible. And so she's deep, lost in her thoughts, trying to remember the scripture reference, when she suddenly says out loud, "Maybe it's in the book of re-evaluation." Now, of course, Sally meant to say the book of Revelation. But her mispronunciation, calling it re-evaluation, is very enlightening, because scripture calls us repeatedly to re-evaluate our lives and our motives. When Jesus spoke about the sixth commandment, he made it clear that the Ten Commandments are not simply an issue of outward actions. The Ten Commandments relate to our inner dispositions and our inner desires. If our heart is not right with God, we can break the commandments through our motives and our attitudes. A few years back, a teenager in Fort Myers, Florida, got into an argument with his mother. The 17-year-old was so angry, he searched for a hitman who would be willing to kill his mother and make it look like a robbery. After asking around, the teen was able to find someone who was willing to kill his mother for a measly $2,000. But the teen didn't realize that the person who volunteered to be the hitman was actually an undercover detective with the local police. Fort Myers police arrested the 17-year-old for solicitation to commit first-degree murder. The police reported that the teen provided everything needed to carry out the homicide. He gave the undercover detective a map, a key to the house, a picture of his mother, and a down payment of cash. But there's something even worse about this story. When the teen hired the hitman, he said something along these lines. He said, "I want you to kill my mother, but when you shoot her, make sure that nothing happens to the television." Now, isn't it disturbing to know, it's distressing to know that there are people in this world who have no regard for the value of human life. And this leads us to a third and key reason behind the sixth commandment. It protects the value and the dignity of human life. So far, we've looked at two negative reasons behind the commandment. Do not take another person's life without just cause, and do not harbor hatred toward others. But we can also understand this commandment in a positive sense. The sixth commandment is not simply a matter of saying no to murder and eliminating hatred from our heart. This commandment also means saying yes to life. It is a command to respect and honor life because human beings have intrinsic worth. Genesis 1:27 is a foundational verse regarding the dignity and the sanctity of human life. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." I love how one author put it. She wrote the following. She said, "The biblical worldview is the only firm basis for human dignity. Every person has value because each one has been created in the image of God." I love that. The biblical worldview is the only firm basis for human dignity. You see, your worth is not based on what you do for a living. It's not based on the type of house you live in or what country you were born in. Your worth and dignity stem from the fact that God created you and your life is sacred in the eyes of God. The physical act of taking someone else's life is grievous to God because it is an attack upon those who are made in his image. You see, murder cannot be undone. If you steal, you can offer restitution or you can replace the stolen items. If you take a human life, it is impossible to get that specific life back. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus pointed out that God cares for all of his creation. He provides for the needs of every single living creature. And in verse 31, he referred to the fact that human beings have a special worth among God's creation. The sixth commandment is more than a prohibition against taking innocent human life. It is a call to respect life. It is a call to promote the well-being of others by caring for their needs. Now that we've looked at the meaning of this commandment, I want to move on and I want to explore three reasons why God gave this commandment. So we've looked at the three meanings behind the commandment. Let's look at three reasons why God gave us this commandment in the first place. Reason number one, and as I said a moment ago, in the eyes of God, human life is sacred. I realize I just mentioned this, but let's dig a little deeper and seek to understand what it means to be made in the image of God. What does this mean? To be created in his image means that human beings reflect certain aspects of God's nature. Like God, we can think, reason, and we experience emotions. Like God, our creator, we are moral, spiritual, and relational beings. Because people have the divine stamp of God's image upon them, human life is sacred. It has immense value and worth. Unfortunately, some people treat life as though it's extremely cheap. over the past 30 years or so, certain words and phrases have become part of our everyday vocabulary. Think about phrases like drive-by shooting, random killing, suicide bombing, terrorism, random violence on public transit. All these phrases reflect the fact that some people have no regard for the sanctity of human life. Back in the 1930s, a man named Francis Two Gun Crowley was one of America's most wanted criminals. Although he was only 18 years of age, just a young guy, Francis was wanted for a string of brutal homicides, including the murder of a police officer. In a shootout that involved more than 300 police officers in New York City, Francis surrendered after suffering 4 gunshot wounds. When the police searched him, they found a note in his jacket pocket. And here's what the note said. It said, "Under my coat is a weary heart, but a kind heart, a heart that would do nobody any harm." Francis was wrong, and he seemed to have a false perception of his character. He did harm people, and he failed to respect the value of human life. And this leads us to a second reason why God prohibits murder. God is the giver and the Lord of all life. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25 tell us the following. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Life is a gift from God. He determines the boundaries of life. He is sovereign over life and death, and we are ultimately dependent upon his grace and dependent upon his goodness for every single breath that we take. Because God is the giver of life, he is the author of life, we have no right to unjustly take another person's life from them. Let me draw your attention to a third reason behind this commandment. Respect for human life is foundational to a peaceful and compassionate society. A compassionate and peaceful society is built upon respect for human life. You see, a society can be guided by only one of two beliefs regarding human beings. Either a person has value because life is sacred, or a person has value because they are considered to be useful. Think about that for a moment. People either have value because they have been created in the image of God, or they have value because of the quality of their life. For centuries, Western nations were guided by the Judeo-Christian belief in the sanctity of life. And as we have moved further and further away in North America from biblical values, more and more people believe that life can be terminated if a person's quality of life is low, or if they are no longer useful to society. Now, I don't have time to explore the whole issue, but you can see the terrible ramifications when a person's value is determined by their quality of life or by whether or not they are useful to society. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus told the story about what it means to keep the sixth commandment. We're familiar with this story called the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to summarize it for you because I believe it shows us what it means to keep this commandment. A man was traveling on a road when he was attacked by thieves. The thieves stole his money and left him lying on the road, half dead. 2 religious men walked right past him. They did nothing to stop and offer assistance. Then, as you know, the Samaritan came by and he took care of the man at great personal cost. He saved the victimized man's life. The thieves broke the sixth commandment by beating the man and leaving him for dead. The 2 religious men also broke the sixth commandment because they did absolutely nothing to help. They refused to try and save a life. But the Samaritan kept the commandment because he valued human life. He got involved and helped another human being who was in need. Not only does God prohibit the taking of another person's life, he also wants us to enhance and care for human beings whenever we can. When we understand the depth of this commandment, we see that it is a command to honor life. It is a command to respect human life. Back when he was about 10 years old, a man named Chris Carrier of Coral Gables, Florida, was abducted by a kidnapper. The kidnapper was angry with the boy's family. The kidnapper stabbed Chris several times, shot him in the head, and left him to die in the Florida Everglades. Remarkably, Chris survived, although he was left blind in one eye. Now, throughout the years, no one was ever arrested for this horrible crime. 22 years later, a 77-year-old man in a nursing home wanted to clear his conscience. So he confessed that he was the one who kidnapped Chris and left him for dead. Chris Carrier decided to visit this man who tried to kill him 22 years earlier. Boy, that would have taken a lot of courage. And when Chris got to the nursing home, he discovered that his kidnapper was now a frail and lonely man. Chris began visiting this man regularly, and every visit he would read parts of the Bible to the man, and he would pray with him. Eventually, the elderly man who once tried to take Chris's life made a profession of faith. Even though this man had caused Chris a lot of suffering, Chris chose to forgive him. He did not want to spend the rest of his life consumed with bitterness and hatred. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that someone who commits a horrible crime like this man should get off scot-free or get off lightly. A core biblical principle is that punishment should be proportionate to the crime. Forgiving an offender does not mean releasing that offender from the consequences of their actions. But the story of Chris Carrier, I believe, is a good example of honoring commandment number 6, in the sense that God calls us to respect the value of human life and to let go of any hatred we might be harboring toward another person. Let me go a little further and suggest a couple of specific ways we can apply this commandment to our lives. First, I believe at the heart of this commandment is how we treat other people. I've often said that when it comes to living out our faith, how we treat other people is where the rubber meets the road. It's been said that the greatest commentary on the sixth commandment is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know that chapter. Most of you know it. In that chapter, the Apostle Paul defines love. Love is the opposite of murder and hatred, because love is not self-serving. It treats other people with kindness, patience, and with respect. John Calvin once wrote, "Our neighbor bears the image of God. To use him, abuse him, or misuse him is to do violence to the person of God, who images himself in every single human soul." We violate the sixth commandment when we don't respect the worth and the value that God puts on human life. A second way we can apply this commandment to our lives is by striving to be a good Samaritan. Like the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, we keep this commandment when we love our neighbor and when we do whatever we can to help someone who is in need. Please join with me and let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for the Ten Commandments. We want to thank you for commandment number 6 that we have looked at today. And as I've stressed, it is not just a prohibition against taking another person's life. It is also having respect and regard for human life. It's enhancing life, protecting life. We live in so many ways in a culture of violence and death, where violence is glorified, and death and violence are all around us, on the news and popular culture. Father, help us to be a people who are givers of life, who respect human life, who live out the principles of 1 Corinthians 13, the principles of love that Paul talked about in that chapter. Help us to be a people who treat others with respect, with kindness, with compassion and patience. knowing that when we do so, when we look at others as image bearers of Almighty God, we live out this commandment. Lord, we know that living out these commandments, living out this one and all the others, is only something we can do by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. So as we interact with one another, as we interact with other people day in and day out, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to live out these commandments by your power and your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing a tribute to the Creator of life this morning. Be unto your name.